That's perfect. You're beautiful.
Yeah.
And with that, welcome to.
It's a great start.
What's this? What's this show called? It's been so long. This has been like 2 months.
It's fitting, actually.
Happy questing. I'm a co-host, Danny Tripodi. What's my name? And joined with me is Andrew Buckman and Brandon Barba. So nice to be joined by you.
Morning
again.
Evening. Tonight.
And it's nice to see you guys. It's been a minute. So what are we here to talk about? Laura,
something like that, I think.
Andrew's not ready to talk about the Mets.
Oh. You're not ready for the Mets. Arrested Development. Sorry.
Dang it.
Pre-show discussions. A little behind on a couple things here, folks.
Yeah. So what do we got going on, guys?
Well, I think there are probably three main topics we want to talk about today. Recap Worlds, big event happened. Got to see our first Lorcana World Champion crowned with DKP. So maybe talk a little bit about that tournament, kind of the stakes from it and lessons learned and maybe what we're looking forward to in the future. Also, we got the DLC announcements at Worlds and more details about what's going to happen with those tournaments, plus these now... What are called? I have to look it up. The Challenge Championship Qualifiers, the CCQs, which are third-party events that will allow you to qualify for the Challenge National events. Interesting thing there. And then probably talk about set champs and decks and what we're feeling right now about the state of Lorcana. So
I dig it.
Yeah,
I dig it a lot.
I just say I'm trying to qualify to host a CCG or Q or whatever in my basement between Anthony and myself, and the best one of us gets to go automatically. I think I got the numbers.
Yeah,
I might not win, but I got the numbers.
My credit card will get me in just as easily. So you know what?
Yeah, we have better luck than I will.
Yeah. So. Let's talk about Worlds. Congratulations to DKP. I don't know why I'm stumbling his name. I never had an issue. DKP, congrats to the world champ. Kind of figured that he would take it, honestly. He's just been one of those players that has been consistent throughout his time in Lorcana. And I know he came over from Yu-Gi-Oh! And he's very talented. I know some people were chirping him. And I found a funny tweet on Twitter. This guy, paraphrasing here, but he said, people are upset that DKP is selling his Metafy or whatever. If I won a world's championship, I would be selling my dragon shields as if I was the Bella Delphine of Lorcana, which is hilarious if you're familiar with that world of e-girls and bathwater and. It's great, but I totally relate. I would do the same thing. This was the deck box I used held the winning deck. You know, I don't know. So good for him on winning that. And I want to shout out Andrew for throwing together the little stream. What was it, like your prediction thing? That was really fun to see.
Yeah, I threw together a quick little like pick'ems. So yeah. you picked your top four players you thought were gonna do as well as they could in the tournament, and I assigned points, and you also got to pick the triple deck format deck combination colors, and you got points for that. And I was surprised by like how close the point distribution was while still getting us like a clear like winner for the event too, which I think was Mike, right? Yep. I think Mike took the most amount of points. So it was fun. I'll definitely do something like that again in the future.
Yeah, that was really cool. That was the only thing, because I unfortunately wasn't able to watch World stream. I'd still need to get the recap, but being able to pop into our Discord real quick and be like, oh, no shit, I'm doing pretty okay. I was like, oh, wow, that's crazy. Like, I just picked that out last minute and was like, I think this is what will happen. I don't remember who I picked to win, though. I don't know if I said DKP.
There was no, like, you picked the winner. Oh, it was just pick the four. I thought about doing that, but then it was like, in some ways, I feel that's double jeopardy in terms of points. Like, oh, you already picked this person, then you're going to say they're winning. Okay, yeah, duh. You're going to get more points for them winning. So the person who ends up winning got you, I think, 20 points.
Yeah.
So you still pick the winner, essentially, gotcha. Danny.
Yeah, I know. I definitely selected DKP. I think I had to pick Zansiad. And I want to say Bivens, maybe? I might have selected. I don't know.
I mean, I could pull it up to see who you selected. I've got a whole spreadsheet for
I'm pretty sure those were the three that I picked in that one section that you had, if memory serves.
So in future tournaments, definitely want to look out on our Discord when Andrew posted this. I didn't participate because mine was thinking Adirondack Mountains and trying to get ready for that. But the definitely something that was fun, and everyone in the banter that went back and forth throughout the days was pretty cool when I went back and looked at that. I wish I had participated, but I think that's something that's cool because it's another way to bring people around together. I mean, hey, do it before MGM decides to get in on it and charge $50 to do it, right? Or we'll have the commercial with LeBron James or who's a little guy there? Kevin Hart, where he sells his DraftKings commercials.
Imagine. It'll happen.
That'd be great. If you want to join our Discord, the Upside Discord, just head to the upside.quest. That's our website, and there's a link right there to join the Discord. We welcome everybody. You don't have to be around our area.
Yeah, we got people from the greater Syracuse area, so you don't have to be from there. You can be from wherever and just participate, hang out with us, talk Lorcana.
Under a rock, it don't matter.
You met someone in Japan while you were at Star Wars Celebration who was talking about joining the Discord, didn't you?
Oh yeah, well, from For the Lore, he's a TikTok and Instagram content creator in Star Wars.
Nice.
Gave our tournament a shout out, I think, in his Discord too. So
what a guy.
Yeah, but in terms of the worlds, Brandon, you didn't get to watch any because you were in.
No, I was the Saturday. I was packing and cleaning the camper all day Saturday, and then driving up. And Anthony was keeping me informed as he watched in the car until we lost signal. But yeah, it was very exciting from what he had said.
Yeah, I got to watch all day one. I streamed along, doing like a watch along with it as well, and like it was a really fun event. Like, I know we had talked about in the podcast of being a little apprehensive about the sealed version that they did for this world's event, but the players seemed to really enjoy it. And I listened to like the Club Lorcana podcast with like Zan and his experience talking about it, how even like the training for it, they were buying boxes, you know, to be able to do this, opening up packs.
I was just gonna say Lorcana definitely made out probably in the training.
Yeah. The weeks leading up to it. But that was fun and like an interesting way to start off the tournament. But then they got into the triple deck format, which was a really unique way of playing Lorcana. We got to see some decks that we don't normally see, all because you can know in that format if your worst matchup wins in a round, that's okay because then that deck gets benched essentially and your opponent has to win with a different deck. So you can in some cases like afford to lose a match in this format. And then by the time we got to day two and the essentially the knockout stage, right, we had DKP versus Ed, which, you know, two of the best players, and Ed went 5-0 in his first day to automatically qualify for day two. So it was like some of the best Lorcana we've ever seen played. Even though it wasn't the traditional constructed format that we're all used to, we still got a glimpse of it, and then something kind of unique and special, which was fun.
In my opinion, shouldn't be the world championships about the guy who's the or woman that's the best, right? I mean, like, make it a challenge. Make it not easy. You can't just bring the deck that you've just spent, you know, it's become rote memory. You don't even have to think, you're just doing it. Like, well, let's make people work for it and really show that they get the game and they can play the game. I think so. That's a huge accomplishment in my mind. I mean, I've never played another game, been to other championships, but it doesn't feel like other games really have these more unique formats for the championships.
Yeah, to compare to some sports balls, you know, I don't really follow traditional sports that well.
You said sports balls, but.
But, you know, when you think about like the Super Bowl or the, what's the baseball thing called?
World Series.
Yeah, that one. They don't change the game, right? You're playing the same game that you play it all, you know, preseason, postseason, season. But no, Disney Lorcana, and I guess that's true in other TCGs too, that. But you were literally challenged. You couldn't play, you know, your pet deck. You had to play all the decks, essentially.
And maybe not even your pet deck.
Yeah.
Not to bring it back to Yu-Gi-Oh! Because everything comes back to Yu-Gi-Oh! With me. But like for the World Series, because the card game is split between the OCG, the original card game, and the TCG, the trading card game, the American and European players have to change their strategy because they make a specific world's meta, basically. They have specific cards that are banned because the OCG is ahead of the TCG. At least that's how it was back in the day. I'm pretty sure there's still like a space between sets. So that was always interesting to me. So it is a good point to bring up that, like, there's no other card game that I know of that had this type of challenge, which was cool to see, you know, especially the triple deck and sealed formats. It really showed who was the best Lorcana player.
So jumping on, and not necessarily on the gameplay but we got one guy, the winner, who was a former Yu-Gi-Oh player, but where do we know where are the other guys? If they come from Yu-Gi-Oh, they come from Magic, do they come from other games? Do they just come into the game? Do we know?
I mean, a lot of them probably played Magic or Hearthstone or one of the other online card game clients. Wouldn't surprise me. I know Mo, I believe, was a Yu-Gi-Oh player. Don't quote me on it. I don't know about Ed. Zan Syed played Magic. I feel like if you got into the Disney Lorcana card game, it's because, and you're a professional at a professional level, it's because you came from another card game, whether it be One Piece or Magic or Yu-Gi-Oh or hell, Weiss Schwartz. I don't know if that sees high competitive play, but there's so many card games now, even Dragon Ball Super. Like, it's crazy how many options there are. Flesh and Blood.
Mm-hmm.
I always forget about Flesh and Blood.
Well, shout out to some local talents, you know, sidebar from Worlds, but we had Ben, Nick from the downstate area. They went and played out at the PPG tournaments and did pretty decently. And, you know, Nick was sitting like top 100, top 50 for points early rounds of the tournament. So, you know.
Yeah, shout out to them. That's
Nick,
awesome.
And Nick that came in second at our tournament, right?
Second ours, and he won the I forget the store, the encounter down in Pennsylvania. That's how he qualified for the PPG tournament. So,
yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's the one you guys went down to, right?
Encounter. We went to the encounter, not to that. They had a 1K before. It was a week before our 2K event. So Ben and his team went down there, and Nick ended up winning the whole thing. And part of the prize was an entrance ticket to that event down in Texas on the 4th, or that weekend, the 4th of July weekend. So yeah, shout out to Nick and Ben. You guys are holding up the upstate New York, New York area.
Just the whole state. I don't know if anyone else
the
was
whole
there.
State.
Speaking of, you know, the state representation, back to Worlds, I'm blanking on his name. Who's the player from Albany? Is it Joshua Poultry?
I have no idea.
That's what it says for
Atlanta winner.
Yeah.
There we go. So Josh, he was our New York representation at Worlds. And unfortunately, he did not do so well. I think his only win might have been a bye.
It was a bye.
A bye. Yeah. Yeah. Because once you won your five games, you were qualified for day two and you stopped playing. So that created an odd number. And then the people at the bottom got a bye, which there was. The players at Worlds, they were not only competing obviously for day two and the championship and all that came with it, but it was like a prize per win. You got the promos and it kind of like tiered its way up. The more games you win, the more prize support that you got. So
which is reflected at the next round, right? Segwaying into to that next segment. Isn't that what the prize support is at the new DLCs?
Yeah. So you want any final thoughts on Worlds, or is this a good segue to
yeah, so
what's next? The future of competitive Lorcana or organized play, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So we got the announcement today, some clarification on what the structure was going to be like for this new challenge series in year two. So a lot of disappointment from the community about the number of tournaments, the fact that there are only three DLCs. As opposed to this, how many were there last year in North America alone?
Five or six.
But, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Quite the change in number there. Also not a significant increase in the cap of these tournaments. But what they said today on the Lorecast, which I thought was interesting, was originally for this second season, there were no additional events planned. The third party support was not going to come until year three, but they recognized that okay, we need this stuff earlier than we expected. And so they decided to implement the third party support. More details to come. They didn't share exactly what was going to happen, but there will be event organizers out there that will be the lucky ones to have their tournament count towards qualifying for either the continentals of North America and Europe. And there will be 24 players from these third party tournaments that will qualify. The 24 players will not necessarily come from 24 unique events. Some events, depending on size, could entail multiple invitations to the CCQs. But it's exciting, at least, that they're doing more and showing that, like, I get the disappointment, and I'll always come back to my one main point with Ravensburger. It's a puzzle company. At some point, we can't just keep calling them a puzzle company, and they will be a TCG company. And I think that day is we're almost there. We're basically, we've arrived at that point, but I'll still give them some grace for it. And the other thing too is, which is from this announcement, is that they're already talking about year three, and they have plans that are, it seems, pretty solid. So this year, which is definitely a deflation of what we got last year, is thinking about the future. They're thinking about the longevity. You go too big, you can't scale to capacity, and you end up fizzling out. Shrink it, make it sure that they can sell out everything, that it's gonna have demand for it. And that guarantees us a year three, which makes year four even better, year five, et cetera, et cetera. So,
and it is relative, because yes, us here in North America and Europe were a little more restricted, and Canada was cut out this time, but other parts of the world added. And China and Japan will be included this time, which was a plus. I think South America picked up one or two extra.
Yep, so,
card games are universal around the world. We know that. But Disney is even more so. So you just have people will play because it's Disney. That's one of the reasons I came to it. And I think that that's a huge thing that access to more people, right? I mean, at the end of the day, there was a lot of people that complained online. They're like, well, it didn't matter. I went to all of them last year anyways, and I'm going to go to all of them this year. And that, so there's some balance. I think that my, maybe not number complaint, it was really odd. I thought that we had the Mid-Atlantic, and then we had Upper Midwest and Upper Midwest. But it's interesting in that one of the points I had read was location. You know, going to Chicago and going to New York, it's expensive, right? You got to put it on. It's going to be expensive. It's expensive for people to visit and stuff, but Milwaukee's not as expensive. You can get better dates, probably. Richmond, same way. You're not far from DC. Richmond's an hour and 20 minutes. I made the drive several times when I lived in DC. It's not that far away, or maybe it's farther. I don't remember. It's been a couple years. But regardless, you can... There's access to areas. I mean, Indianapolis isn't terribly far from Chicago, right? But it's probably way more affordable. I think even flying in Syracuse, which is the nightmare if you're not from the Syracuse area, Syracuse flying sucks. And then you lose Southwest, it makes it even worse. But it wasn't that, you were saying just yesterday, like flying into Milwaukee or something was a couple $100 mm-hmm. or something. And that's rare for us. So there may be some benefits out of that too. You might be a little more affordable for us people, who regular guys who don't always have, you know, tons of money to go to every tournament or tons of sponsorship or something like that.
Yeah, that brings up a good point too. There is definitely a privilege to these folks that can afford to go to every single tournament. You know, there's people that, you know, set aside their cash and like, I'm gonna go to this one, but that's it. You know, I consider myself fortunate enough to have gone to Toronto and then the North American qualifiers. Mm-hmm. I think that was awesome. But I couldn't imagine feasibly attending the five or six DLCs last year. I mean, Toronto was awesome, but it does add up once you book either a flight or drive out there in your hotel. The cost of admission it adds up. It's crazy. You know, I think we went more on the expensive side, you know, staying on property at Disney and staying at the main hotel in Toronto. But I don't know, that is something to consider, that the best player could be at home playing at locals, destroying their local tournament, and they just can't afford to go to these tournaments. So I do like that they're doing the third party things to give people a shot that might not have been able to go to the bigger DLCs.
Well, and they said specifically for regions that didn't. So, like, not to say that we shouldn't expect one in New York, that it's possible for there to be one of these events, but they had mentioned Canada because Canada did not get any DLCs. They even mentioned Mexico today too. Those are, you got to forget, there's more to North America than just the America part of it. Right. United States of America, that is. So, you know, we got to think about those other locations.
And Gulf of America.
And the Gulf of America, of course. They didn't get any yet. but you look at California as the largest Lorcana market. I think that's a true, like, in terms of like the sales of product. They didn't get a DLC. So I think the third party event is going to focus more on those areas, to Brandon, your point about expanding Lorcana. The other thing I wanted to mention too, Danny, is like when you talk about affordability and the best players not being able to potentially like go to these things, Mo Shamblin, the dude literally had to sell his car to go to the DLC in which he qualified to be able to go to the North American Championships.
Yeah.
So, like,
that's true. I forgot about that. That's crazy. It paid off for him,
though. Yeah. Oh, he went to Worlds. He made top eight at Worlds.
Do you think he sold his gold Mickey?
If you had
another car,
you know, no, I'm not throwing shade at a man, but if you had to sell your car, I hope you sold the golden Mickey, because you'll win more prizes later, you know. Absolutely. So pay off that debt so you don't have to worry about, you know, selling a car again to go someplace. Right.
Oh, I lost it. There it goes. There's eight. And it's gone. And it's gone. That was a really good point that was in there about, oh, and also for a store. So like if I'm sponsoring, like, you know, you could even have a, I think we mentioned, we were just talking about Nick qualified for the tournament down in Texas. And so if I have run a tournament and say, I'm going to pay for your entrance down there, and then we're going to throw you a shirt and you're going to wear my logo, and then you're going to go, and it's advertising for these stores. And, you know, it might not be anything, but I'll tell you, when you're going through something and you're on TCG, you're buying cards. Oh, I remember that store. I'm going to order from them. I mean, there's small stuff that, like, when you're down and, you know, you don't think about it, or you see the ad on Facebook and, is this a legit store? Oh yeah, I know it's a legit store. I saw them on Bill's shirt at Worlds or something like that. So there is value in doing something like that and bringing a smaller store, a little notoriety. And I mean, I'd be pretty pumped if I went and I ran a store and I saw my name, you know, on a guy's jersey at Worlds. I'd be thrilled. You know, it's like when Remsen had that loser go to the Olympics a couple of years ago, the whole town freaking went nuts.
Yeah,
again, Andrew's lost sports. I don't know what you're talking about.
Right over the Mickey years.
He's just hoping Larkana makes it to the Olympics next time.
It's a possibility.
You're saying there's a chance.
If esports can make it to the Olympics, hey, TCGs can at some point.
Yeah, so where do we go from there?
I do want to mention one more thing with DLC. Yeah. There is a little format change. They did scrap the best of two, and they're going back to best of three this year, right?
Yep.
And then there's, you know, we were just looking at the stuff. It looks like Challenge 3, I'm assuming that's Challenge 3 in Europe and Challenge 3 in the US, is going to be Infinity constructed. We could be wrong. We may have misinterpreted it, but it looked like, which would be interesting to throw a whole new wrinkle in there, because you're going to take those first four sets out, and then all of a sudden, right in the middle of it, go, boom, here you go. And that would be at a time in beginning of June where everything should be live, right?
Yeah.
So then you would have 12 full sets at Infinity to build from. So it'd be interesting.
That's crazy to think.
Well, and if we then predict of what that could indicate for the Worlds turn, or, you know, the championship of everything for Worlds year two, would they do something like Sealed plus Infinity plus Core, where you have to literally play everything in Lorcana in order to be dubbed the world champion the second time around?
I'm definitely going to bet there's going to be some Sealed Inklands in there.
Sealed Inklands. There's actually an entire three rounds of the tournament are just devoted to Inklands.
I don't know.
We all laugh, but still, you still have Robin Hoods in there, right? Like, still one of my favorite cards. I played someone last night. I was like, I've never seen that card before. I was like, what do you mean you've never seen that card? Like, have you never played Steel against Steel yet? Oh, you know, it'd be even more fun. Little gift set where everyone was disappointed. Shimmering Sky. Everyone, you open a deck.
How do I make a deck? I just got five Shimmering Skies.
Oh, dang it.
Oh, dang it.
I will be fair and say I was the first person. I had several ordered on Target. And when I started hearing that they were what was coming out of them, we canceled down to one. So I got my Lilo really quickly.
It's cool. It's fun.
You have several, don't you?
No, I actually, when you canceled, I also canceled. I had four pre-ordered and I was like, I'm just going to pick up one.
I bought three.
Did you?
Yeah.
How many Shimmering Skies out of that?
I don't even remember. I just wanted it for the Lilo promo and ideally the playset, but the box. And I want a fourth one actually because you can arrange the box like stacks. So you see like the full image on it if you have the side. So I thought as a little kind of display it might be.
You know, it's funny because I often, like I was just saying the other day that I want to get Azurite had the Stitch binder because I've been using that for all the foils I've kept because we don't keep every foil. And I want to get another one because I'm starting to get the point where like, because they're organized by IP versus anything else.
So have like a Stitch binder of all Stitch cards.
Well, so I just use those binders. So I've got two, and so but all my foils go in there. But then inside of it, so like right now, like Stitch is like three or four pages because we've got a lot of those. Frozen's got a bunch. There's a couple that I only have like one or two, so on pages. But as soon as I get more than like three across, I go gets a full page. I'm getting to the point where I need a third one, and that's a set that's been waiting. I mean, you can get it for like $25 at like Target or something. And I know we want to support our locals, but I got to be able to buy product and cheap product. But that's one of the few things that I've never seen on sale is the Lilo. Gift set. Oh, I take that back. I want to say Prime Day. I saw someone had it this week, but I didn't buy it. I didn't want five Shimmering Skies back.
Yeah, I got to say, out of the one that I opened, I'm pretty sure I got three Shimmering Sky packs. One Floodborne, which was cool, and then I think an Inklands. It's like awesome.
I bought several of those Inklands things at Costco.
Oh yeah,
we bought a lot.
I bought five. I think.
I was up there.
One for the sealed collection and. I don't know. I spent too much money on those.
So speaking of sealed, before we jump into what we're playing, they did in conjunction with Worlds. I don't know if they directly tied it to that, but they did a release through the, I don't know what that app's called, EPL or something like that.
Equal.
Yeah.
Yep.
There was some first chapter and then there was some Chinese and maybe was there Floodborne in there too?
I don't remember.
I know there was for Chinese and Japanese, but I didn't know if there was straight up. We went, Anthony wanted Japanese. So we got a couple, we ended up finding out this morning, we got a couple Floodborne and a couple first chapter Japanese coming in a month when they said, but did you get anything, Danny? Did you put in for it?
No, I didn't put in for anything. I got the D23 promos last time and I was grateful for that, but I maybe would have put in for a first chapter box, but also at the same time, it's like, do I really need to be spending 140 or whatever it was? What was
140. 140.
And Andrew, you can speak from experience on that, correct?
Yeah, because I did. I got the box and was one of the lucky winners, which my partner's coworker, they put in for one too. They're like very casual, just slowly maybe getting into Lorcana. They're Pokemon players. They did not win, unfortunately, which was kind of sad because it's like me, the guy who's like, I'll just do this, whatever. I don't need it. Person's like, oh, this is cool. We have a chance to get first chapter. Doesn't get it.
Denied.
And it's interesting because you didn't do the D23 one, right? So I got the D23 also, and I got these. And then Josh on our team, Josh Adams, he did D23 and got it. And then he got the first chapter also. But we had heard rumors that there was going to be, if you hadn't previously won, you'd have a better chance. Which I don't know if that was true or not. I still got everything. I didn't anticipate it. This one I was expecting. I think yesterday we were like, oh, we didn't win. But at 6:15 this morning, we got Floodborne. And then like a couple hours later, they did it. So we're excited. If we had won the first chapter, we didn't go in for the first chapter because I said there's no way I could keep it sealed. And I'd have to pull an Enchanted. You know, we're not like someone who's coming out fresh and trying to get those cards. We have them and But yeah, there's no way it would see. We'd have to like lock it in the safe and not know the combination.
I'm fairly confident I will be able to keep mine sealed for how long. Who knows? I don't think it's ever going to be like a truly like it's not going to be opened. It will go in the acrylic case or whatever. But I think it might be something where I sit on it for a few years. And then one of those days where it's like, hey, you want to do some pack rush with a first chapter for some fun? You know, I love seeing when people open up like really old Magic packs. just for the hell of it, just to be like, yeah, let's rip this open. Oh, I just took a pack that was worth, you know, $800 and now it's only worth like 20.
It's very fun. I was going to say, I love watching the videos of people like shaking, opening the first pack of Magic, and they got the gloves on and they're just trying the video of the guy opening the one ring. Love that video. After he's like just pulled it, and you can see how nervous he is holding the card in the top loader. It's one of my life pleasures, is seeing other people's excitement through card games like
yes.
that. Because really, I mean, it's a piece of cardboard. It's a $2 million piece of cardboard, but
back to Worlds, but related to this conversation, apparently the players had to sign a waiver that says the value of the prize card that they earn is no more than $20.
So I can the gold one.
I don't know about the gold Mickey. This was specifically in regards to the Whole New World foil promo, which there are only 28 of.
They're just talking about the GameStop trade-in value. It's worth only $20.
If you add a certain value, you have to declare that, right?
Exactly.
I read this.
Probably.
This is a shout out to Morning Brew. If you've never been to the Morning Brew newsletter, amazing economics newsletter. 10 years old last week, I believe. Really, really good one. But they, I don't even economics. It's like, it's a good way to get your, business type news. But anyways, they had a comment about the new, I think it was where the new tax law, I think I saw it. Where in the past, if you're a gambler and you won $1,000 and you had $1,000 of losses, you could offset those. Mm. Well, under the new tax law that just passed, and we're not going to go to politics, but if you win $1,000, you're only able to deduct up to 90% on previous losses. So you could actually be taxed on what they were calling a phantom $100. Because you might have actually lost $1,000, but you still have to pay tax on that $100, which you.
Wow.
So, yeah, keep those value low, because I don't have to declare that, right? And then, I don't know. Sorry, little tax.
Yeah, then you can sell the Whole New World for what were they going for? Have you seen any prices?
Oh, I looked up
the Whole New World pin just for chuckles. I was like, what could it be? $800. Someone was listing it for like $2,000 or something. Like, well, I guess I'm never completing the Disney Lorcana pin set, because I was excited. I'm like, I got the big Cindy for the North American mm-hmm. qualifiers. Like that's a cool pin to have, but that's that Whole New World pin. Unless they re-release it for like a local thing, that's not happening.
Yeah,
$2,000 for a pin, I'm good.
Well, I spent how many tickets? What is 12 tickets? For the ball cap that I got from the DLC, and people were like trying to sell tickets for $10 a piece, so I bought a $120 hat.
Yeah,
the world's bucket hat. I want it. I don't even want to know what someone's going to turn around and sell that bucket hat for. If I was spending
$100
on a hat from a DLC, no, thank you. Yeah, so
that's true. It's probably even more than $200. It's crazy. It's interesting to see.
Well, switching gears, enough about opening product or product that we may or may not have gotten. We got to figure out what we're going to do with this product, boys, because it's Set Champs time. It's literally the first weekend.
Oh my God, it is. What, wait, we're on really? Thursday night. Yeah.
This is the first.
Canada's got to come on Saturday. Wait. Nothing else we found around.
No locals.
Wait.
And they gave us an extra week, right? Didn't they give us 5 weekends this year, the set?
Sure. Let's go with that. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure pretty soon we're going to have. We're going to release weekend, and then the following weekend is going to be Set Championships for the next for 3 months. Yeah.
12 weeks is fine. I don't know. My issue, and I think we had talked about it in our Lost episode. I have been going for a different color combination every Set Champs since the Ursula Set Champs. I didn't win the Inklands one, but since Ursula's, I've managed to win every single one at least one at one store, in one way, shape, or another with a different color combination. And it's funny because I think last episode I was saying, like, or I might have given somebody advice. Oh, I think I was talking to Marquise. I was like, you don't need to be the avatar of Disney Lorcana, master of all elements, master of all gems, ink colors. But I do like the flexibility of knowing what every deck does. And it's funny because in other things, I'm usually, I think anything other than Lorcana, I'm like, I'm just going to focus on this one thing. Like I played League of Legends. Sorry to alienate you, Brandon, but
I know I'm in on this one. Keep talking.
For League of Legends, I played Garen because that was the first character that you play as. And I was like, all right, I can understand Garen because he's pretty easy. But then from there, I found Wukong. And I played Wukong consistently from like 2009 to 2014. It was just like a joke that Danny was always going to play top. I was always going to play Wukong. That was it. And so stuff like that, even with Yu-Gi-Oh, I would go against the meta after a certain point and just play one particular deck. And that was the deck that I played. And I did okay with it. For whatever reason, Disney Lorcana, I don't know if it's the way that they've made the card game. I'm like, I want to see every aspect of this game from every different play style and every deck color to see how things work. Like, because there's certain decks that like, oh, this plays significantly slower than what I'm used to, or this plays a lot faster than I'm used to. Like the last set champs that we played in together at Larger Than Life, I just played a funny, I'm going to either win really fast or lose really fast with the just in time and dropping a five drop beast or whoever else I had. And it worked out. It's fine. It's something though that I have been interested in, and it's a nightmare because I don't know what deck I want to play now, having come from all the past ones. I'm pretty sure it was Ruby Amethyst, Emerald Steel, Blue Steel, Amethyst Emerald. Those were my past four set champ winning deck lists. So the only color that I need to win with is Amber, which I mentioned to you guys earlier. So maybe it's Lemon Lime Discard. Maybe it's Steel Song. I don't know. Maybe it's Aggro. I don't know. That's my problem. What about you guys?
I'm looking at Brandon.
I will say that I have since set two been a Steel Song player, and I finally was like, I'm done. After the last set champs, I was kind of a little burned out by the end. I don't know what it was, whatever played last. And I was trying Jafar. I was like, I think it started to come on strong at the end. I made some tweaks. I enjoyed playing it. And then I ran into, I might have even played it at Unplugged.
You did play it Unplugged.
Yeah. And then I was pretty excited. Oh, yeah, because we played each other. Mm-hmm. The one matchup I didn't want was to play you and your Steel Song deck. And it was the only one I wasn't confident. And I'm like, ran Jafar. It's going to be awesome. It's freaking Jafar. And it sucks. I think I've won maybe one match since then. I've been consistently finding the tweaks. You know, I dropped Calhoun because I found that she was being useless because no one did anything. They would just let him sit. And so I was questing for one and then she was getting taken out and I wasn't just going to let it sit there. And maybe that's my own fault. I tried to throw out a bodyguard in there to try to help with get me extra time with Jafar, but it just, I wasn't getting there. So I'm kind of done with it. And it leads me back to, I might end up back to Steel Song, which I said I was done with, but it's become, I think it's probably the strongest it's been in the meta in a long time. Like it's got a couple of different versions. There's an aggro version. There's a longer deck version, more control. You can speak to that. You've been a long time Steel Song.
Yeah, basically since set four, really, I've converted to Steel Song with like dabbling in other things, like trying the, even back to set four, I was still playing a lot of Emerald Steel. But since then, the conversion to being like, I identify as a Steel Song player. It's the deck that I feel the most comfortable. Danny, to your point of like in previous versions of games, kind of going back to the home base of the thing that you're most comfortable with. It's what I've done with Lorcana. And it's been the most successful for me. Not only do I feel comfortable and confident navigating the deck, but I've gotten results with it too. And so that added like it's acknowledgement of like, yep, the deck type is working. You as the player making good choices to be able to get good results. So I'm feeling right now that Steel Song is the choice that I'm going to stick with. I've been known to try what Danny's done too of different things, and especially after winning a set champs, then I go, okay, what's the fun thing I'm willing to try now that I got my championship underneath or on the belt or whatever. But Steel Song is where I'm feeling that right now. Although I will say this, that in the pre-show discussion I mentioned, I worry that I might be peaking a little bit too early with the deck.
It's the exact opposite of your experience last time.
Yeah,
right?
That
started out weak.
The meta will change in some way during set championships, and then I'll feel like really bad about the deck and the choices I've made and switch to something else. So we shall see, but Steel Song it is.
That brings up a really good opportunity for just a helpful tip for anyone that plays Lurikana and any card game really. And it's something that we kind of talked about before. And I think this is true just throughout life. Confidence is key. How you present yourself against your opponent says a whole lot, depending on, you know, if you're slouched over. Or I try to maintain a composed form, but there's always some times where I'm just like, dang it, I needed this card, and it tilts you. But if you can maintain a composed, confident appearance, like we saw with Ivan, mm-hmm. you know, he...
Oh, does he have emotions? Because I don't think I saw him. Even after he won.
Yeah.
But although he did rip on us.
Very serious throughout playing. And it's important, you know, because you're going through all these emotions. Your opponent is also going through a bunch of emotions. And I think that's something that as players need to also comprehend, that the person that you're playing on the other side of the table is going through pretty much the same thing that you're going through. And it's a matter of how you deal with those emotions to think through your plays and play the most optimal card. You know, that's the difference between what makes a good player versus a player who lets their emotions get the better of them. And they go, oh, dang it, can I take that back? You know, there's only so far, so many mistakes that you can make. You know, I usually allow my opponent at a bigger scale tournament, I'll give you one. But if you're going to start making a bunch of play mistakes, it's like, sorry, you played that. You gotta pump the brakes a little bit, think through your plays, like, we're good. There's even been a few times where I've played against people and I'm like, don't worry, take your time, take it easy. Take a breath. We're not in a rush, especially at finals. It's like,
no time.
Let's just play it out the best that we can. You know, and that's something that hopefully people that are listening to can take with you, because it's a pressure, high stakes event for some people that are playing competitive card games for the first time. It's a lot, honestly. And if you're going up against somebody who's like, this guy always beats me, I can't beat this guy, that negative self-talk is going to beat you faster than they are.
That's why I quit golf. And segue for a point with that, in my mind, I think back, and I want to say it was Jack Nicklaus, but I could be wrong, golfer, very good golfer.
I was like, the actor, what about him?
And
here's Johnny.
I think it was him, but it might have been Arnold Palmer or someone like that. But the Ryder Cup, which is us versus Europe, right? And the U.S. versus Europe, not just us. And he sees a lot of match play, and which there's not as much match play, but you're playing against one person as opposed to the whole field. He said that there's a lot more gimmies. I know I'm going to lose that hole, so you can have that hole. And he said that what he would do was he'd be playing and early in the match, when someone would think they're going to have to make the putt, he'd be like, no, that's good, I'll give it to you. Let's give it to you. And then it gets near the end of the match and you got a putt that's 3 inches. And he's like, you know, you're taking it. And he's like, it's the small stuff, right? So you get in that mental game with someone, but even putting someone at calm at ease is kind of off-putting. Like, why are you being nice to me? We're trying to be competitive here. And then you relax and then you can go in for the kill. So there's other things. It's like about winning. And then the other thing I was thinking about was a great movie, if you've never seen it, is Rounders. Poker movie, Matt Damon, John Malkovich plays amazing, John Turturro's in it. Absolutely love the movie, I've seen it a million times. If you've never seen it, they're at the end and Matt Damon's playing against Malkovich, just playing the Russian, and chick, chick, chick all night long. And he goes through all these different things, but at the end of the thing is Matt Damon realizing what the tell is. And you can do that. And I bring that up because watching you play last night, I realized what one of your tells was. And I was like,
what's my tell? Tell me, what's my tell? I know I can't hide anything. No, so.
But it's funny because I saw it last night. I'm like, I got to tell him what it is. I completely forgot about it until you were just talking. And I was like, what the hell was that? I did want to say that to like you pulled it, you drew a card, and I was like, he got it right there. You could see it was just a small little thing.
Like
at the end of his match, he decked someone twice last night to win the tournament for the league, which is pretty impressive. And I'm brag for him. But when he pulled the whole new world, that was like, yeah, I got it. Like, that's okay to tell, but it was in the middle of the match and it was like boom. And I'm sorry. It's one of those moments you gotta like go into notes and make a note and then or send the text. This is what you did, man. Like, as a teammate, I don't want you to do it at a big event.
Oh, that is, I don't have a poker face. I can't hide it. We've talked about this in like work related stuff. I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel by the expression on my face. Even in high school, marching band, that's how I can relate to the world of Brandon over here and sports and whatnot. But for marching band, my band directors say, Andrew, you can't shake your head when the band makes a mistake, because the judges, they don't always know what the intended thing is. But you, Mr. Perfectionist down there who does, who sees that the clarinets weren't in the right spot at the exact time that they needed to be, and you shake your head at them, makes them go, huh, I wonder if they made a mistake there. So, yeah, I can't. Got to keep it.
It's so subjective in that world.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there must be a mistake. I got to take a point off for that.
Yeah.
There goes your state championship.
It's true. Do you guys have any tips or anything that you would tell anybody listening? You know, that's my biggest thing is confidence. And another thing that this is just like an irk for me is you ever play against somebody who doesn't, they just play their cards and then that's it.
Oh.
And then you go, is it my turn? Oh, yeah, you can go. Okay, well, thank you. You know, communication is so important in this game. Just knowing like what your opponent's intentions are, like, I'm going to play this card for this much ink and then I'm going to attack with. So, you know, if you aren't announcing your plays, I highly suggest you do so, because that's the ultimate thing to open up a can of worms of, well, I didn't understand what you were doing because you never said so, you know, and then it just can stem from there. And then you got to call a judge because there was a misplay or something.
He's picking on me. That's one of my things. When I get into a rhythm, I get in my own little world, and all of a sudden I hear that more often than not at tournaments. Is it my turn? Yeah, sorry. I wasn't even thinking about you. I was thinking about me, which is a problem because you need to know what the other person's doing too, and I get in my own.
And it's not always a malicious thing. Coming from competitive card games, I'm like, is this guy trying to fuck with me? Like, what the hell's going on? You know, and it could be just that they're in a rhythm and you don't want to upset that rhythm, but nothing irritates me more because I'm on the other side of the table being like, okay, I'm going to pay three, shift Diablo, or play three, play Diablo, have this one sing, let the storm rage on. You know, I want it to be very clear what I'm doing every time.
Yeah, I have really tried to focus on that during game, not only to be clear with communication so my opponent understands what I'm doing, so I understand what I'm doing. There's something when I say, like, you know, thinking through the action, saying the action and doing the thing that I'm saying helps reinforce that. So I know the play order. So, or, you know, the order of operations in the play, even with like triggers. So with the Sonic Warrior, when I play a song, I have the ability to exert two ink and then deal damage. So I say trigger in the bag. That's not just to stop the rule shark behavior that can occur with someone saying, well, you didn't announce the trigger, even though that's not a rule anymore. I do it for me is to remind myself there's this thing, and it keeps, again, the order of operations.
I asked
in
you about
play.
That last night because you said trigger in the bag, and I thought he had was referencing the drawing the card for let it go. I forgot about this, and I wasn't even playing him. I was watching him.
Yeah.
But I asked you, I'm like, did you not do the draw? And that's why, because I heard you say trigger in the bag, and I didn't know what you were. I thought you were triggering that. I'd forgot thing, but that would also help slow you down, because that's one of my things is the rushing. It goes back to taking tests. I fly through them, I rush them, I need that slow down piece. I remember to draw four for Ariel, which I used to always forget. That was a running joke for like two or three set champs for me, because I just never remembered. And like the week leading up to it was like, Brandon remember, But the yeah, that's a very important part. And actually, Anthony and I were playing a couple weeks ago, and my wife was like, "How come you guys aren't saying what you're doing?" And she doesn't play. She's never really, she must have probably because she helped out at our tournament. But I was like, because we know each other's decks so well, we know exactly what we're doing, like back and forth. We didn't have to, but it was funny because she expected us to say that. I was like, no, we're just, we don't want to talk to each other.
I love that. Yeah, no, it's interesting. It's something that I think more people need to be cognizant of, because, you know, it's one of those things. Like, if that's your play style and you don't talk during the game, or I mean, there might be some issues like sensory issues or something that they don't want, you know, that's a whole nother thing. But I think being in constant communication with your opponent is so important, because it's a two-player game at the end of the day. That's the, I think people don't realize it's because you're constantly in your head and you're thinking about your plays. I try to think of what my opponent's doing and what they're thinking, and that kind of helps me at least maintain my composure, understand what's going on with the game state, and see what my most optimal play is to make. And sorry, I sidetracked that with my thing, but if you guys have any tips.
Yeah, I'll throw in a tip, especially because I think people, we're talking about this in the context of set championships. You're not preparing for the world's tournament. You're preparing for a local event where the level of play could be anywhere from pure beginner to a fairly competitive scene. So depending on the field at your expected tournament, really, it's a wide open field of what could be there. That being said, you don't need necessarily the best deck to win or even do well. You just need a deck that you, like back to my point about Steel Song, that you're confident in, to Danny's point, but that you know how to play, and that you don't necessarily need to pick, oh, this is the deck that everyone's playing right now. When you've played that deck how many times? What's your experience with it? Do you know the right lines of play to do things efficiently with the deck? And then you could be really disappointed in yourself when you don't do as well, because you thought the best deck was going to get you a win when all you did was give yourself a challenge that you might not have been ready for. So I would say, like, my tip is, if you're unsure, go back to what you feel the most comfortable playing, that you have the most experience with, and you'll probably do better than if you just pick the quote unquote best deck and play it blind for like maybe the first time in your Lorcana, you know, play.
To add on to that, I just want to add this because it's so true. The first set champ, the reason why I don't have Inklands win is because I entered one tournament, and the week before I'd played locals and got smoked by Ruby Sapphire control. At the time, this was just set three. And I was like, wow, this deck is so consistent. There's no way that this deck doesn't win. And I went and went, I bought all the cards that I could at Unplugged. I went, I think, to G&G Games and bought a bunch of other stuff that I was missing, built the deck, and played it. And then I consistently got smoked by every Ruby Amethyst deck there. And I was so mad that I wanted to just sell all my Lorcana cards and cash out then, which I'm so glad that I didn't, because I wouldn't be here right now. I wouldn't have met you guys, you know, like it's crazy. But that pivotal moment there of wanting to just cash out and be like, I'm done, could have changed what I'm doing right now. But yeah, you know, and it can happen to the best of players. I think the Ursula set champ at Misfits, when I won that, I was like, okay, I can actually do this. That gave me enough confidence to go on and continue to win set champs, because I just tell myself, you can do this, you know? And it's something that I believe everybody has the potential to do. It's just a matter of having that self-belief, the confidence, the skill of knowing what your cards do, knowing what your opponent's cards do, and you pull that all together to make your most optimal plays and play as well as you can. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that you're fighting against is the way the cards come off the top of your deck. So.
Well said there, Danny.
Thanks.
My only tip will be just have fun, man. at the end of the game, it's a bunch of cardboard and you're trying to, you're playing a Disney game and yeah, we want to be competitive and we win, but let's go out and have fun. You know, that was one of the big things at our tournament. We sportsmanship and having fun, and it's not the World Cup, the World Series, anything like that. It's a good time. And if you don't have fun with it, you don't get to meet people. You don't get to know how people are doing and get to know what's going on. Small things. Shout out to Marquise. He got engaged recently. We were excited. Like, I just found out last night. Danny just found out tonight. Yeah. Like, that's cool. I would never met him and gotten to know any of the stuff. And so,
honestly, yeah, I was so happy when you guys mentioned that. I was like, wow, way to go, Marquise. Congrats, buddy. Hopefully he's one of our listeners.
Yeah.
So congrats to you, buddy.
This will be awesome. The week he doesn't listen. Yeah. Like, what do you mean you guys mentioned me on the podcast?
Too long.
He was asking about the next 2K last night, so I don't know.
But no, it is a very social aspect of a card game. You know, if you're only in it to win, you're going to have a rough time because you can't win them all, unfortunately, unless you're cheating. Yeah, I don't know. Then you can win, I guess. But there is a big social aspect to this game. So I think that's what makes, like, when you're a fish out of water at some of these other events, like when we went to Rochester, there's a little bit of nerves there because, like, I don't know half of these people in this room.
I couldn't wait for you guys to show up. And you were in Andrew time, so I was like, God damn it.
Yeah, we're
in
Andrew
time. Anthony's like, why are you watching the door? Because I don't know these people and I want to.
Yeah, so it is. It's definitely important to remember to have fun. I think I often forget about that too. That's something that I could work on more, to just have fun.
I don't know. I think we have a good time. And Anthony and I are looking forward to, we're going down to Orlando on Sunday for New Smyrna Beach, but we're going to, I think it got a couple stores we found with some events. It was a little harder. I was kind of surprised in that area to find something, but looking forward to going out and meeting some new people and playing. And Anthony's excited about it, which is good because he's, again, that's the hard part when you're introverted and you don't want to go out and meet people, and myself included in that. Sometimes you feel nervous about what you're getting into. Being able to go out and do it and represent the upside, looking forward to that next week.
Well, I think that's a really, like, positive note about Lorcana, as we're talking about the community and everything. That's something I think makes this game unique compared to other TCGs, is that, Brandon, I think you're the perfect example of this. Your family is a big fan of Disney. And mm-hmm. So the moment you sit down and play this card game, oh, it's that movie. I love this movie. And you're talking about the characters from it and everything. And it instantly turns into something that's outside of the game that you can relate to your opponent, versus it's the, and I play a little bit of Magic, so I know, but like the IP doesn't carry the same weight that I think Lorcana does in terms of, like, community, family, connection. And so I think that's a really unique and positive thing about the game.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say. I think we've said it all.
Yeah, you know, earlier we said this will probably only take like 25, 30 minutes tonight, and we're like approaching an hour, because you can just keep having fun, enjoying good company, talking about a great game. With that, I got nothing. You guys got anything else?
No, I think it's time to say the magic words.
Go sports. Happy questing.
Have a good one, guys.